The following podcast contains spoilers.
Hey, it's Joe Bunzarelli.
Gorian Shard's back, and so are we. Today I got Bob with me, and we're talking about Chapter 21 of The Mandalorian, The Pirate.
This is The Bunzarelli Show.
So are you happy to see your pirate friends and the
big green monster,
the swamp monster pirate
Gorian Shard
spaceship.
Yeah, he was back.
You notice they even had the wheel on the spaceship. Yeah. Like he had to turn. He's like, whoa, and he like turns the big like wooden wheel. Why does it have a wheel?
Yeah. You know, I didn't think about it until you said it. Yeah, that was a little off.
Yeah. And it turned all slow like a boat.
Yeah.
Like, don't these things do like light speed? Yeah. Like, they're like, like the Titanic. Yeah, turn about.
Yeah, move like anchors. A straight up boat.
Yeah. It's like it flew here.
How does it do light speed and stuff? Yes, that was Gorian Shard was the head pirate, and the one that I liked was Vane. That was the henchman. I made sure to have his name down because, like, I liked, you know, a lot of crazy names in this one.
He's cool.
Yeah, he was really good.
He's cool, and he was really good, and he lived, and he went off on his own, so we know he's going to pop back up.
Yeah,
somewhere down the road. But I tell you, it was a perfect. It was a good example. Like, I think not last episode, maybe two episodes ago, I was like, there's some good Star Wars happening in this one.
Yeah.
But this episode, this is like good straight up Mandalorian episode, just like a little independent, like standalone adventure, like got a favor for a friend situation.
Yeah.
His friend had trouble with the pirates. All right, let's rally the troops, get them together. I like the whole speech with the big guy. Where you thought like, oh, he wasn't gonna want to go, and I had a feeling. I said he's gonna want to go, and I forgot about the kid.
Yeah,
how Mando and Bo-Katan basically saved the big guy, the big Mandalorian kid.
Paz Vizsla.
Yeah, I forgot all about that, but I still figured it just seemed like it was playing like that. You know, he's gonna start this big old speech, and I thought he was just gonna say, "Why are we gonna do this?" and say,
"This
is the way."
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I was hoping for, but he I like his thing better. We're Mandalorians.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you saw when he started talking about Grogu, Grogu starts looking around awkward, like, ooh. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
He's calling me out here.
Yeah. Ooh. Guys, I'm just a kid. Look at me. Hey, kid.
You know what's funny? It's because they say, and nobody really was saying, but if you're saying, like, there was a prediction saying, like, at this point during last season is when. Mandalorian met Ahsoka, and she kind of set him on the path to see Luke, like,
right
at this point, because there's three episodes left. So the cool thing is you have the build up, you have the turning point, and now we actually see where all the storylines are kind of coming together, like everything from the beginning coming full circle, because the cool things happening, like, as far as leveling up the Mandalorian story is, and it's a perfect deal, is them setting up camp on Navarro. That was like the perfect thing, because next, now they could be open, and it works out for the people in Navarro because they got built-in protection now, because there's no...
Yeah.
And it keeps them independent from the Republic, which also, for we're not really exactly sure why, but Mandalorians don't want to have nothing to do with Republic. Probably because they just want allegiance to themselves. That's what I'm guessing.
Right.
There was a part, so Captain Carsativa, the New Republic guy, there was, and you probably didn't catch it, but it was cool because it's one of those things that you'll just either thought the character was cool, kind of like the Cad Bane experience, but when he first receives the message and that alien comes right up next to him, he goes, oh, that's a shame. I thought.
Oh, that guy was awesome.
Yeah, that's Zeb.
Yeah, that alien. I was like, there's got to be more to this guy than just this little clip, because this guy is that huge guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's from Star Wars Rebels, so he's from animation. But a lot of the characters from Rebels are going to start bopping their heads in the Ahsoka series, but it's like you just see him, you just like him. You don't need to know, like Cad Bane, you know, they keep it approachable.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to, but for me, I'm like, oh, he's right there. Because he would be the one that was like the big effect. Everybody else is like Sabine's another Mandalorian. And then there's like some human characters. There's a Twi'lek, which is the kind with the tails and head, but it's kind of neat. Like, nope, it's happening. We're going there. So that was a cool thing.
Yeah. And it was, speaking of saving the, I forget the name, the planet.
Navarro.
The planet where they helped everybody.
Yeah.
So they saved the Navarro people. So Navarro's under attack. Now, this is the city with all the skyscrapers. It's got a school.
Yeah.
It's got all these landing things for spaceships to land.
Yeah.
And then they go on the run, and it's like 10 people.
Yeah.
So this whole big city was running out. I mean, the school had to have more than 10 people employed. There's only like two kids in the group. So is this school for the two kids?
Maybe they should have panned out the camera.
Where is everybody?
Well,
maybe they panned out too much and they showed like too much empty space. Like, no, you got to kind of pretend. Unless a lot of people were killed. They're all, all 10 of us. It's like, but there's 20 buildings.
Yeah, I felt like Freetown looked
bigger.
Doesn't
make any sense.
Yeah, remember Boba Fett when Freetown came? I just felt like they looked bigger than Navarro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Freetown, like, yeah. But like, they're like driving through streets and doing shootouts. It's like, okay, so I'm counting more buildings than people. So each person gets two buildings.
When they show you clips of the town, the pirates are still bullying people around. So I don't think everybody made it out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so he just got a crowd of people.
But it was funny when you said it.
I like how that whole thing that, yeah, I like how the whole thing where that went too, because I was thinking, he's going to have to, like, when Mando first gets back and radios him, he's like, yeah, I decided to take you up on that, on your offer. It's like he had to say that just to make sure, because everyone was backing him up.
Yeah, like, we're still good, right?
He told everyone he was going to get some land. It's like, yeah, we're still good. Just so you know, I would expect some land, because you see, I got a lot of guys behind me with weapons.
So,
and then he ended up giving them more.
Star Wars never quite explains how like big planets are, because it always seems like a planet is like a city. Because really, if Mandalorian settled on the other side of Earth, no one would even know. You know what I mean? Like, if it's so either they're
exactly.
Planets are small. It was like, yeah, we'll give you this lot on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like us saying, like, oh, well, you know, Stuart, yeah, welcome to our planet. It's like, well, we just helped your city, but like the next town over, I don't think you can give us. It's like, nope, this planet welcomes you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have the power
the whole
to
planet?
Do that. The whole planet?
Oh, they showed the, that's another thing they set up, is Elia Kane is still working from the inside with the Republic stuff. So...
Yes.
And that's the part.
Yeah, and you see that storyline coming.
Yeah.
Coming back. So and the one older pilot definitely is suspicious of her.
Yeah. And everything she said in that room was like blatantly suspicious. like if I was Tim Meadows, I'd be like,
yeah,
you are straight up suspicious the way you're talking.
Yeah.
like none of this looks right. Like, she looked like she was sweating and her eyes were watery, like she was high. Like, seriously, I was like, is she high during the scene or something? It's like, we're cool, right?
Yeah.
We're cool. Everything's cool,
well,
man.
Maybe they all seen Ant-Man like we did. They've seen how ripped she really is. So
yeah.
Just everyone knows, they just don't want to mess with her.
Yeah.
Because she's so much scarier now. You're like, well, I don't know if you've seen her exercising after work, but this girl's ripped.
Yeah, no,
she'll kill
us
all. So let's just, don't make her mad, dude. Just let her do her thing. what about the, kind of skipping ahead, but
go ahead.
So what are your thoughts on the Mandalorians being suspected for freeing, Moff Gideon.
I had a couple things. The first thing was like, okay, it's a setup, but that doesn't really make a lot of sense, because like, I don't see Mandalorians in general being a threat to the Empire, you know, or this emerging Empire, because like Din Djarin never goes looking for them unless he needs, you know, to save Grogu or something. But you don't want nothing to do with
it. And it was a long time before they found it. It was like, they don't say, you know, they don't really tell you how much time, but it's not like it was right when it happened. Oh, we found this ship, and it looks like Mandalorian did it. It was like time had passed. People were kind of moving on.
Yeah.
And then the guy just found this ship. And yeah, so I don't think it was so much a setup. I'm thinking armor. Is this where the armor comes into play? Is she somehow involved?
I'm thinking I'm thinking it's the Mandalorians that, like, Bo-Katan's original crew. Either.
Oh, yeah.
They're working with Moff Gideon. Or they went ahead and imprisoned Moff Gideon. But if they're going rogue, I can't see why they would just keep him prisoner and not kill him for that long. So that's or it was a botched, they were trying to extract him to kill him and he escaped. I don't know. That ties into stuff.
Because now Bo-Katan's been sent on a missionary adventure to go, you know, recruit other Mandalorians that have strayed.
Yeah.
So you would think, okay, maybe the first place she would go is her old crew, because she just has, you know, she just has whatever clues to where they might be, and that could be how she finds Moff Gideon.
Yeah.
If they got him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
He might be onto something.
And that's going to bring her, like, because that's going to be her journey, and when she finds out that piece of the puzzle, where's everybody else coming to play? Another thought is, part of that Rebels crew, there's another Mandalorian in that crew. Her name is Sabine Wren, but she's a really cool character. She's actually the character that gave Bo-Katan the Darksaber. But she might seek her out, but, you know, maybe she had something to do with the Moff Gideon thing, because they're looking for, because Ahsoka was looking for Tarkin. It might be a more complex storyline that we haven't figured out yet. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of players are putting on the board lately. Oh, I want to go back to the armorer. So the armorer, and it's very funny because I'll watch it myself, but she had that one scene where you see the back of her with the hammer, and I'm like audibly in the room by myself going, oh, here we go. She's going to have her big scene when she was beating them all up at the tower. I was like, okay, now we see why she's in charge here. But
yeah,
she went back and flipped, like how last week we were talking, like we were a little like disappointed with her reaction. And maybe she needed a second to think on it, because it seems like now she's got a whole different view on it. You know what I mean? Like maybe it had to sit with her for a second.
Yeah, like she asked her. Yeah, I like that. I'm glad that they went back to it, because it left something hanging in the air. And it's like, I hope they you know.
Yeah.
My mind's going all over the place with what it could be. But then, then just came back to her and she's like, so you seen that, huh? And she didn't even ask her again, which was cool. It wasn't that she doubted her.
Yeah.
She just brought and came back to it, you know?
Another thing that
maybe everything I learned wasn't true.
But I also realized too that also maybe the combination of like the Din Djarin like coming across this new future for them, and then her thinking of the Mythosaur, like she's connecting the dots, like, you know, not just the Mythosaur, but the Mythosaur, Bo-Katan coming over, Din Djarin finding him a place to live, like, oh, things are kind of moving and shaking here. You know, things are happening.
Yeah.
Maybe the new age is coming. And then straight up, take the helmet
maybe
off.
Maybe roll with the punches.
Yeah.
It was cool because it makes sense, because she's like, okay, I'm sending her out to go get these others. We're going to have to accept them.
Yeah.
And by having her taking off the helmet, it's like, see, we're already accepting them. She's going out to get the people, these Mandalorians, the ones that you see flying around without helmets on.
Yeah.
You know, so that she's showing that she's okay with it already before they bring them back and have to go through the whole thing again.
Yeah, it's also like we can't just, we need to get Mandalore together, and we just, they're not all going to settle into this way of ours. It's just, you know, it already broke. So we got to still accept them. And she kind of made that analogy with the cauldron, the forge. She goes,
the forge.
Yeah, she
goes,
oh yeah, the great forge of Mandalore. But we had a little one here. And I had another one on the other planet, but it's like they all did the same thing. That was the analogies he was getting at. It's like a Mandalorian is a Mandalorian. Yeah. So instead of like thinking of these different sects, it's stuff that broke us up. We're stronger if we stick together. Because look how strong we are now. It's just Bo-Katan coming on and pretty much taking leadership. And actually the rescue of the child. And even though Din Djarin made the call, like still Bo-Katan put the plan together pretty much. And like ran the mission.
Yeah.
So that's what I think is
for sure.
That's where I think the armor is getting to, like, look what we could do together type of thing.
I mean, do you think they're leading up to a Bo-Katan series? Because I guess you probably know that by now if that was the case, because they can't really keep.
I don't think so.
Too much.
Because I think, like, Boba Fett's kind of his own thing.
She just has a big enough role in this one.
Yeah, I think she's just another character, kind of like Greef Karga and stuff, just another person that's in that thing and talking, and she has some history. You know, maybe she'd get, like, a book of Bo-Katan, like, her own little thing, maybe. But I think she's a better something else going on, and just instead of just following Din Djarin, I think it's actually good you have another character. You're kind of like, you know, what's going on with him? What's going on with her?
Yeah.
What's going on with the armor? I think it makes the show better to have more interesting characters. You start spreading yourself too thin. Now Ahsoka's a whole different story, because Ahsoka's got her own history and her own story. Like, Ahsoka needs her own show, pretty much, because she's got so much going on.
Yeah.
I do predict that Luke, you might not see any Luke in this, but I definitely think you're going to see Luke in Ahsoka. All the pieces are starting to come together, and a lot of cool things going on. So, Bob, I want to thank you for being here with me.
Yeah, buddy.